We're looking this evening at Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 in particular, but we're going to start our reading back in verse 12. We'll read Colossians 3, 12 through verse 17. Colossians 3, 12 and following. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Well, as we come to Colossians 3:14, it's important to remember that the context in which this verse occurs is a context of conflict. We can look back to verse 8 and remember that these are wrong responses to conflict. Put off all of these: anger, wrath, blasphemy, or anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. And what's the reason for this? Instead, we see that you have become new men. You've put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge, and you have been made as new men, a part of other new men, that we are part of a body of believers that God has formed. And ultimately, verse 11, where Christ is all and in all. And so as we think about this context of conflict, we see Paul then directing our attention to ultimately verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. How do we deal with conflict? How do we deal with division? Well, we're to deal with it by putting on love. And what we're being taught here is very simply that to be perfectly bound to one another, we must put on love. Paul's calling us simply to unity through love. And where there is disunity in our relationships with one another, where there's disunity within our families, our homes, we can say that there is a failure on our part to put on and to practice love. And so Paul is calling us simply to the exercise of love. And we'll look at this evening under 4 points as we look at 3:14. First of all, the urgency of love. And think about this in a couple contexts. The urgency of love that Paul is calling us to, and he begins there in verse 14, but above all these things. But above all these things. Now, that's where it's important for us to remember the context. Look back at verse 12 and verse 13. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If I came to you tonight and said, let's think about meekness, let's think about humility, let's think about long-suffering, let's think about kindness and mercy, let's think about the call to be a forgiving people, and actually let's talk about something more important than that, we might be a little taken aback. Well, what could possibly be? Those are pretty important biblical concepts, aren't they? Things like humility, kindness, meekness, forgiveness. Those are very core things of what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Paul says to us, but above all these things, that tells us that what he's about to call us to is something that is indeed very important. If I said we're going to talk about something tonight that's more important than money and fame and good looks, well, you might say, like, well, I can imagine that the Bible would have a lot of things like that to tell us about. I can think of many things that are more important than those things. But when we look in the context of verses 12 and 13 and what Paul has just been talking about, what we've just been instructed in, then if Paul says, above all these things, we know that what's about to come is very important. We also need to realize from this text, as we think about the urgency of love, and as we're called here, above all, to put on love, it reminds us, actually, and we can ask the question, well, is every Bible verse equally important? Now, think about that for a second. Is every Bible verse equally important? Be very careful in the way that you answer. Every Bible verse, of course, is equally inspired. Every Bible verse is equally infallible. Every word of God is pure. It's all true. It's all perfect, right? But that does not mean that all verses are equally important. And how do we know this? Well, think about Jesus. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment, Jesus? What's his response? He doesn't say, well, they're all equally important. No, he says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And there are other places we could go to in the scripture, right? Where, for instance, Paul in other books says, this is a faithful saying. I want you to, he highlights, he sort of, you know, puts a certain sentences in bold or certain sentences with a highlighter through them or underlines them, as it were, in his writings. This is a faithful saying. Pay attention at this point. And in a similar way, as we're going through the book of Colossians and we come to verse 14 of chapter 3, we see one of those highlighters, one of those bold markers, but above all these things. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, this call to love is an urgent, important call, the urgency of love. But the verse goes on from there as it says, but above all these things, put on love. And in those next couple words, put on, we are taught, secondly, not only about the urgency of love, but we are reminded of the source of love. As soon as we say, or as soon as we are commanded to put on something, we're being told that this is something external to us. Now, I was talking to a couple of the moms of our church after the 11:30 service this morning, and they were stating the reality that starting next week with the elimination of the 11:30 service, they said, you know, it won't impact. My kids will already be up in plenty of time for the 9:30 service, but it will impact the urgency of the put-ons for our family, right? It's going to impact how much I have to prod the children to get ready to come to church. Well, in a similar way, as soon as we are told, you know, this is urgent, put this on, something we need to realize is that this is something external to us, right? We don't have to tell our kids on Sunday morning, now, before we go to church, be sure to put on your eyeballs, right? You woke up and those were already in your head. We don't have to say, put on your hair, right? We either have lost that and don't have it. Or actually, I think, if I'm understanding correctly, wigs are coming back into style. So maybe we'll get back there as a culture. But you know, we don't really tell our kids, be sure to put on your hair, unless they've had some sort of a tragic injury. We don't say, put on your legs, we're getting ready to go to church. Because legs and eyes and hair are all part of who you already are, right? But when God says, put on love, he's reminding us that being loving is not something that is natural, not something that is native to who we are. It's something that comes to us from the outside. And in fact, the scripture makes clear to us that the love that we are to put on does come from the outside, and that it comes to us and is initiated as a gift from God. 1 John 4:9-10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Or Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So as we're called to put on love, it's got to come from outside of who we are. And the scripture makes clear that the way that we know what this is, that the way that we know how to show love, that where we receive the love that we are able then to pass on to others, is actually love that's initiated by God and given to us. 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Notice, as soon as we talk about the fact that we're to put on love, and that that love is love that comes from God, there's instruction there for us, even as we think about loving people in the midst of conflict and controversy. Because God's love for us is a love that overcomes barriers. Right? In the incarnation itself, as Jesus Christ took on the form of man and came to earth, he overcame the greatest barrier, right? And he was holy and he was righteous and we are not. And he came in love, overcoming that barrier. He came as the offended party, and yet, and one with legitimate grievances and gripes, and yet taking it upon himself to be reconciled so that we might have his righteousness, so that we might be reconciled in him to the Father. Put on love. And understand that even by being told here that we are to put this on, that it requires then, it's a decision that you and I are called to make. How am I going to respond in the midst of difficulty? Will I respond and behave with God's love? Will I respond in the way that God has responded to me? Will I take on and receive this love from somewhere else and put it on me in order that I might pass it on to those I disagree with? So this passage is telling us that love is urgent, right? Above all these things. And then it's telling us the source put on, and reminding us that that source of love, it's not just dig down deep within yourself and find it within yourself to love others, but there's an external love that we have to receive that enables us to love others. So the urgency, followed then by the source of love. Thirdly, verse 14 points us to the requirement of love. It's as if Paul comes to the end of verses 12 and 13, And those list of things that we're to do in order to promote peace and welfare, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. And it's as if he says, Paul, the great theologian, says, I know that I've just given you a long list of things that might be too complicated, that might be too difficult for you to remember. So let me boil this whole thing down to one word. And that one word is love. What God is calling you and me to in the midst of complaints and grievances, in the midst of being sinned against and wronged, is to take action. The action of love. Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Or Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. God has saved us not so that we might just enjoy the benefits of salvation ourselves, but so that, and not that we might have an opportunity for the flesh to live according to what we want to do, but instead we've been given liberty, we've been given freedom, so that we might through love serve one another. And John 13 wraps this up when it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What God's calling you and me to is above all of this, right? Above all of this, put on love. Put on fulfilling the law towards one another. Put on covering over a multitude of sin. Put on loving other people in the same way as you would love yourself. How do I want to be treated when I sin? How do I want to be treated when I'm annoying? How do I want to be treated when I'm unlovely, undesirable? How do I want to be treated when I'm difficult to be around? How have I been treated by God when I've been difficult and repulsive and unlovable and unfulfilling as a relationship to Him? How has He nevertheless treated me? He has treated me with love. Am I treating others in that same way? Put on love. And see, the reason why this is so important is that at the end of the day, every other approach to human relationships hits a brick wall. Because we meet some people, it only takes us a minute or two to figure out, you know what, that's not really my favorite person in the world. I was sitting in at Culver's the other night where my kids work, and some guy came in and out of the drive-thru, and he hadn't gotten exactly what he wanted, but his opening line was, when did you guys stop wrapping the hamburgers and just throwing them in the bag? And that's just simply not true, you know. And I'm sitting there at a table near enough to hear him. So, I just know it took me about 15 seconds to know this is not a guy I would really appreciate being good friends with, right? Sometimes it takes us only 15 minutes. Sometimes it might take us 15 hours or 15 days. But eventually, in every relationship, we hit a point where we say, now I understand why some people might not like you. Now I understand some places where you aren't quite as smart as me because you don't agree with me in all of your opinions. You're not as wise as me, right? And it may take a little bit longer, but ultimately, no matter what the human relationship is, we hit a point where we realize there's disagreement and division here. And then we can say, well, let's go to work on this. And given some time, I can make you exactly like me. And you'll come around to my way of thinking. And you can try that, and you'll find out pretty quickly that can work sometimes on some issues with some people. But often it's not going to work, right? Often there's simply just areas where we, in good faith, disagree with others. We also not only can't make people just like us, but we also can't undo the past, right? That we come to places in relationships with others where things have been said and they remember it one way and we remember it another way. And we can sit and talk and talk and talk, and it's not going to change the fact that we have a difference of remembrance of how that event went down. We can't always just discuss things so long that we will see things perfectly eye to eye. And so that's why we have this urgent imperative in those situations. And above all else, put on love. Because no matter what the relationship is, if it's going to continue, if it's going to deepen, it's going to continue and deepen because there's a decision made to love. I can't force you to see eye to eye with me. I can't force you to see that my personality is terrific and perfect in every situation. I can't force you to adopt my view of history and my understanding of events that might be separating us, but I can and must decide to love. And you can and must decide to love. And that's what we're being called to here. That we can and must decide to show love for one another, even when, or especially when, we could say, there's reasons for division and disagreement. And that brings us then, fourthly, having talked about the urgency and the source of love, having talked now about the commandment of love, the command to love here, fourthly, we see that this verse points us to the effect of love. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The perfect bond. What is the perfect bond? Well, you can spend many, many hours at a hardware store, walking aisles, looking at all sorts of different ways to bond things together. Some of you have painfully walked the aisles while someone else tried to figure out how to bond two things together, and you really weren't part of the thought process as you followed your loved one around from aisle to aisle as they inspected all the different sizes and types of screws and nails and bolts and nuts. And then maybe it's not going to be inserting a piece of metal this time. Let's go over to the adhesive section. Should we use super glue or Gorilla Glue? Or maybe liquid nails? And on, you know, and that section is huge, right? The adhesives section. Or maybe we shouldn't use a screw or nail or liquid nails at all. Maybe this time it calls for a piece of rope or a piece of twine or a special latch. And we have all sorts of things that are sold and marketed to us to fasten things together. But you and I both know that all of those things have limitations. There's an old song that I grew up with a record for that went like this. String can't bind a broken heart when it's been torn apart. Mend a friendship that's almost through. Can't hold hate out, bind up fear, wrap up doubt. String is useless when it comes to me and you. Right? And you, instead of singing string, could insert liquid nails or super glue or screws or bolts and nuts. All of those things are not the bond of perfection when it comes to human relationships. They all have limitations. And that's why we are pointed here, not to some super adhesive product, but why we are pointed to love, which is the bond of perfection. Once again, we're not going to agree on everything. We won't see eye to eye. We're not going to find every personality to be delightful to us all the time. But you and I can make a decision to love. And as we do that, that is the perfect bond for human relationships. That's what will keep us together. That is what will keep us in relationship with one another. And Paul's writing, remember, look back at verse 11. Paul's writing to a congregation with a variety of dissimilarities. There's Greeks and Jews. There's circumcised and uncircumcised. There's barbarians and Scythians. There's slaves. There's free in this congregation. There's men. There's women. There's old. There's young. There's different races. And yet, even with all of those disagreements, even knowing differences of opinion that exist in the congregation, even knowing, verse 13, that there are complaints that people have against one another, even knowing that there are sins that have occurred between different believers, he can say, how do these dissimilar people get along? How do people who have a history of wronging and hurting one another get along? How do we bind this body back together? How does it get held together? And the answer simply is love. Brothers and sisters, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. How do we know that it works? Well, not only does God assure us that it works, but it's the bond of perfection that bonds the holy God to you and me in an eternal and unbreakable relationship, a relationship that will never end for all of eternity. And so if you and I know that God's taken people like us and bound us to Him through love, that should give us the confidence and the assurance that we can be unified and bound to one another in love as well. And so may God convict us then of the importance of love, right above all these things. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And as we love one another, may God bless us with unity, unity in our families, unity in our friendships with one another, and unity in our congregation as we love one another, even as we have been loved. Amen. Lord, thank you once again for your word, and it's very humbling to us to reflect on our unloveliness, on the many things that would justify not only you disliking us, but even people around us disliking us. And yet we thank you, God, that you in your kindness have chosen to love us, to set your love on us, and to reconcile us to you through your love. We thank you that you've bound us to you perfectly through the great love that you have for us. Make us instruments, make us channels of that love, and would you bind us to one another in that same love that, with which you have loved us. Allow us to be unified with one another. Lord, in particular, in those places where there are broken relationships, where there are frayed relationships, where feelings have been hurt, where things have been said that shouldn't have been said, where there are deep differences of opinion that we hold, Lord, even differences of opinion that are built on your word, and where we, to the best of our knowledge, are seeking to honor you. Lord, we pray that even in those areas where we most keenly feel divided from our brothers and sisters, Lord, we pray that you would give us love for one another, and that you would allow us to put on the love of Christ, and in this way to be unified even in spite of differences that may exist. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Unify us. For your name's sake, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.